The Toral Matters, written by Island of Rael. This is a Goblin Emperor fanfiction, read for you by Kitsune Heart. Rating, teen and up audiences. Summary. Maya finally meets his aunt Shailene and her wife Doritho, and asks Shailene about her seafaring life. He doesn't understand half the things they say in reply, although Cythero seems to have no trouble following the discussion. Also, the air in the tortoise room is terribly dry, making poor Civette and Kala cough repeatedly. Serenity, murmured the tall, straight-backed, broad-shouldered woman who stood before Maya and Cythero in the tortoise room. She then sank to her knees, the tails of her long, heavy jacket flaring about her hips as she knelt. It was not of a design Maya had ever seen before, but it was surpassingly handsome in its dashing cut, its bright brass buttons, and the relative sparseness of gold embroidery against the crisp black wool. To his surprise, it was not an Ethuvaraji custom. She took his heavily ringed right hand in hers and kissed his knuckles once. "We are your half-aunt, Shailene Cheverjad, and we are delighted to finally make your acquaintance. And yours as well, Jazan." Beside her knelt another woman, slighter in build, but just as erect of carriage. "As are we, Serenity, Jazan," she said. "We are Shailene's wife, Doritho." She was not quite as dark as her spouse, perhaps half a shade lighter than Maya, and her eyes were red instead of yellow. Her garb was a pale blue berjai gown that, while not current with Sethi's fashion, complemented her coloring and her figure beautifully. "Please, do rise," Maya said, and his aunt and her wife unfolded gracefully up from the carpet. "We are extremely pleased to be making your acquaintances ourselves," he added wholeheartedly. By now, a full year after his coronation, he had met all his other half-aunts. But for most of that year, Shailene had been sailing well beyond the Chavadan Sea, in lands untouched by ice and snow. A letter from her father, the Great Avar, had reached her in one of her regular ports of call that summer. In the autumn, she had returned north to Selene over the water, put her ship in dry dock, and made plans to travel with Doritho by airship to the Unthelanesi court. Marim Esran had assigned them a suite across from that of Captain Anadian Vizhenka, and they were as pleased to be reunited with them as they were to finally meet Maya. "Your gifts to us," Cythero said in the plural, "have been lovely and thoughtful. The tiger's eye necklace and earrings in particular." "Jazan," Shailene said, tilting her head, seeming quite satisfied by the compliment. "We thank you for the spices and the golden Anvernashi wine as well," Maya said. "Civette, have you and Merim Ezran passed those along to Deshanal Ebrimus?" "We have, Serenity. He was most delighted with them, and tonight he intends to cook with the former and serve the latter." There was a trace of fond amusement in Civette's dry, professional tone, as if he were describing a small child presented with several new toys. "We are curious to hear your opinions on the uses of such foodstuffs in the hands of an accomplished Ethuvaraji chef, Captain and Merim Cheverjad," Cythero remarked. Shailene inclined her head again. "However he chooses to ply them, we are sure that a chef who has served true emperors will acquit himself well with them." "We agree with our dear wife," said Doritho. "And we share your confidence," Maya said. "We hope, too, that you will recount some of your seafaring adventures as accompaniment to his masterpiece." "Ah," Shailene said with a smile. "Our stories are not quite as interesting as, say, those written by Carcathelinid. We are a merchant mariner, and thus our days are taken up with the mundane details of trade, not with sword fights or buried treasure.
We see, Cythera said, a touch of disappointment in her tone.
But surely your days on the seas are not completely dull, Maya pressed. One need not read the tales of Carcathelinid to hear that seamen, and sea women, we suppose, live fascinating lives. You must meet all sorts of different peoples, with their diverse customs and distinct geographies. In sooth, he had heard much of this from one of Kevo's blue-backed novels, but what he had actually heard at court had not much shaken this initial impression.
"Well, Serenity," Shaylin said. There was a glint in her pale amber eyes that had not been there before. "We must say that, generally, we prefer to avoid seamen."
"You do?" Maya said, frowning in puzzlement.
"Indeed we do. Well, we are hardly a delicate creature. Men who sail the sea can often be shockingly coarse in their deportment. We must say, we do not care for the saltiness of seamen."
There was a stifled cough to Maya's left, where Savette stood. Of a certainty, the air of the Alketh Moret was as dry as it was cold at this time of year. Maya did hope that was all it was, rather than an incipient grip on Savette's part.
"Well," Doritho said, with a mysterious note of mischief in her voice, "we do make an exception for the little man in the boat."
"Oh, of course," Shaylin said, and her eyes were positively gleaming now. "How could we forget to mention such a good friend of ours?"
"The little man in the boat?" Maya repeated, not following this turn of conversation.
"Yes, Serenity," Shaylin said. "We know him well. He spends his days diving for pearls."
"He is quite the expert when it comes to oysters and mussels," Doritho said.
"And conch shells," Shaylin added.
Maya was confused. He knew that oysters yielded pearls, but he had not heard that either mussels or conches did.
Cythera did not seem to share his befuddlement. A corner of her mouth, in fact, had turned up.
"So, Captain Savrasached," she began.
"Please, Jazan, we are on Shaylin to you, and we hope to his Serenity as well."
"Aunt Shaylin," Cythera repeated dutifully. "Please do feel free to call us Cousin Maya and Cousin Cythera, then. If you don't mind the question, would you then say that this fellow has an intimate knowledge of littoral matters?"
Two coughs now, one coming from Kala's direction this time. Maya would have to ask Esharan to place bowls of steaming water in various rooms around the Alketh Moret to improve the humidity somewhat.
"Most certainly he does, Cousin Cythiru," Shaylin said evenly.
"He plies his trade 3 weeks out of every month and works ashore the fourth."
"To avoid the red tide, we presume?" Cythiru asked mildly. There was yet another quiet cough from Savette again.
"You presume correctly, cousin," Shaylin said. "In general, we prefer to commune with the creatures of the sea, rather than encounter seamen."
"Commune with them? Would that not put you in peril of drowning?" Maya asked, feeling quite bewildered now.
"Well, Cousin Maya, we are careful and selective about which forms of marine life we interact with," Doritho said.
"Cods, cockleshells, sea cucumbers, we have no truck with any of these."
"Oh, of course you wouldn't," Cythera agreed.
"Naturally, if one avoids the mangroves, one avoids most of those," Shaylin observed. Though he felt completely out of his depth now, Maya asked, "So, what creatures do you prefer to commune with?"
"Mainly, cousin, the greater Barajai armfish," Shaylin said. "We keep one in the tidal pool behind our house."
"Are those not dangerous?" Maya asked. "We've heard they sometimes grab seafarers unaware and..." His face and ears grew hot as he recalled a tale recounted in a
particularly scandalous blue-backed novel that Kibo had kept even better hidden than the rest. It was certainly not an appropriate tale for the occasion. "And Strangler drowned them," he finished. It was not a complete lie, as there were other, less salacious tales to that effect.
"Oh, their danger is greatly exaggerated for dramatic purposes," Doritho said. "In fact, they can be tamed quite easily, and they are friendly, playful creatures who, with proper care and feeding, make excellent pets."
"Indeed," Shilian said. "Our armfish, Cthulhu, is of great comfort to Doritho when we are away at sea."
Maya thought he heard a quiet snork from Kala's direction this time, but he ignored it.
"We are happy to have finally met you both," he said, "but at the moment we cannot linger. The rest of our day is quite busy. We look forward to seeing both of you at dinner."
"If you will forgive the question, cousin, what does your chef plan to serve as the main course?"
Doritho asked politely.
Civet? Maya looked imploringly at his secretary.
Civet's face was impressively neutral as he said, with an odd note of glee in his voice,
"Crabs."
The fresh noise issuing from Kala's direction sounded more as though he had choked on a crumb than as though he were coughing.
"Maza, are you all right?"
Maya asked in alarm.
"Yes, Serenity," Kala replied, his voice tight and...
was it shaking somewhat?
"We are fine. Please forgive our untoward outburst."
As if the aforementioned outburst had never occurred, Sathira said to both Shelian and Doritho, with the sedateness that befit an empress, but with an animated look in her eyes, "As much as does our husband, we greatly anticipate your stimulating dinner-time conversation." Both women bowed, grinning broadly, and were gone. Civet said, his tone still unlike his usual crisp one, and his eyes glistening a bit, said,
"The Courageous awaits you, Serenity."
Maya rose and offered Sathiro his arm.
"Shall we?"
They exited the tortoise room, with Civet behind them, and Kala and Beshalar bringing up the rear. Maya could have sworn he heard yet another untoward noise from Kala, and then a grunt of pain, as if the Maza had caught an elbow in the side. Following this, Maya thought he could hear Beshalar muttering under his breath,
"We are surrounded by overgrown Mykon."
The End.
If you liked this podfic reading and you would like to hear more by me, you can find the rest of my collection at archiveofourown.org/users/KITSUNE_HEART. Please also leave a review for the authors themselves. You can find the work through a link on this story's post. Thank you.